Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Well, I'm like my wife. I get excited about this time of year. You know, I kind of hate to see summer go. It's been wonderful. I hope it's been relaxing for you. But it's also nice to have this season with us, where it's really like a fresh start. It really is about new things. The kids are off to school, and activities kind of start up again. And it's really a cool time of year. So thanks for being here this morning as we kind of look towards kicking off our year here at Living Waters. I think one of the things that I like most about this season is that you're here. We're all here together. You know, over the summertime, so many of our students go back home and they're working, you know, raising money for the tuition and all of that. And the people are camping and going on trips and so on. But today it really kind of marks the beginning over this month as we all come together and we gather together. It's a bit of a reunion of sorts. So welcome. Welcome to this place. I know I said it earlier, but I want to say it again to those who are new to our community today. Maybe somebody's invited you to church and you've come along, and we just want to welcome you. We're glad that you're in this place, and we hope that you feel a part of this family because this is what it is. It's a family gathering, so we're really delighted that you are here. So this morning we kick off a 3-Sunday series called Community, And I think that title really kind of reflects well our trajectory into this coming year. We're going to be heading into some exciting stuff, I think. And so let me just kind of give you a brief description of what community is going to look like over the next 3 Sundays, and then we're going to jump right in. I'm going to start at the end and then work my way back. So on Sunday, September the 23rd, I'm going to be speaking about our future together as a church and where we believe the Lord is leading us as a community. We've got some exciting things from the Lord, and we're really pumped about what this year is going to look like for us. Next Sunday, Luke is going to be speaking, and he's going to be speaking on being a community within a community. Being a community within a community, which we believe is vital to our moving forward. And today, Luke and I are going to be team teaching, which is going to be kind of cool. I wore a new shirt and he didn't. And a great start to the year. And so today, what Luke is going to be looking at is community roots, the scripture, why and how they determine our values, our vision, and our direction. So before he comes and does that, I want to talk a little bit about our community values. So whether you've been here for a while or maybe it's brand new for you here at Living Waters, I want you to know these values are important for us to know about because they really talk about who we are as a community, as God has put his stamp on us. Each of our values, of course, is biblically based. That's where they come from. And you know, it is true that we could have probably listed 100 values for us, but really what we've done is we've come down to 7 values that we think really describe who we are and where we're going. So I wanted to talk a little bit about those values, just so we're clear as we begin this year. I'm going to read them out to you and then talk a little bit about each one before Luke comes. So let me begin with the value of community. It's probably a good place to start because that's what our series is called. This is what our value of community says. We recognize that God has designed us to be together. At Living Waters, we care for one another. We honor one another. We are encouragers. We are challengers. And we are there for one another. We love each other. While we have great community whenever we gather as a large group, we see deeper community happening in smaller groups where we deliberately engage one another in meaningful relationship. Our desire is to see everyone cared for in caring for others. I think it's important to recognize, as I hope we all do, that this community, church, the local church, is God's idea. We see that in the Old Testament, and we see it in the New Testament. It's an early pattern that was set that we attempt to follow. People gathering together for worship, people gathering together for teaching, and gathering together to be with one another, to love one another as Jesus calls us to love. You know, in the New Testament church, as people gathered together, there was strength together. There was encouragement together, and there was a learning together. It was, and I believe, is powerful today. God grew his church as people gathered together, and he continues to grow and utilize his church today. So the pattern of gathering as God's family, it continues today. And so we believe that community, this form of community as we come together, is absolutely vital to a growing and vibrant faith. You know, we're described in the Bible as Christ's body. And I love that picture, that illustration. It's about caring for one another. It's about being there for one another in the journey of faith. It says that we are many parts, and each part, the scripture says, belongs to one another. We belong to one another. And that really is, I think, a wonderful picture of what family is all about. And so when we talk about family here, that's not to sound kind of cute. That's real. We are the family of God. That is how the Lord has designed it to be. And so we come together, we care for each other, we're on this journey of faith together. We call each other on. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, so that's another reason that community is so important. And I think that community also honors and respects the fact that we gather together kind of as a variety pack. You know, we really do, if we kind of look around at each other. And there is richness in that. You see, we're all different. We come from different places. We come from different experiences. And so we are different. But what we do agree on is that we come together and we try to figure out life with Jesus together. And we can learn from one another in that togetherness. And as we've said before, we clearly recognize that deep and intimate community cannot easily be found in larger gatherings. And we gather together to worship together, as we did this morning. And we gather together to be with one another and to listen to teaching and all of those things. And so Sundays are awesome, but Sundays are not it. Sundays are not it. Sundays are just the gathering place for us together. Our need is to be with one another throughout the week, and we believe that happens through our groups. And Luke is going to be talking a little bit more about that next week, that place of finding deeper community within community. So we're all about community here. You probably get sick and tired of us saying that word over and over again. We'll get used to it, because that's what we are. We are community. We're family together. And you know what? We're not perfect at community, by the way, just so you know that. A lot of the things that we talk about in our values, I would not say that we've landed there yet. We've got some work to do in all of those things, but that's part of our progression as a community together. We're a little messy. God knows that, and he helps us through that. You know, the value of authenticity, which is what I want to talk about now, it really does go hand in hand with our value of community. This is what it says. We desire to be the real thing, followers of Jesus, who not only say what we do, but do what we say. We're not interested in masks or any form of hypocrisy. Authenticity means that we are honest with God and we are honest with one another about how we are doing and how we're feeling, even when it's hard. Authenticity underpins the success of real community. And so we believe that it is essential here. Authenticity is essential in our family. So we don't show up here just to play church. That ought not to be why we're here. Nor do we work to maintain a Christian image that will impress others. Both of those notions are really foolishness. We come here together to grow closer to Jesus. We come here together to draw closer to one another. And we can only do that in the true sense of what closeness means in community by being real with one another, being authentic. You need to know that this is a safe place for you to be who you are today. It's a safe place for you to be who you are today. Faithless or faithful, wondering or firmly planted, you are welcome in this house. That's what the sign above the door says for purpose. You are welcome here. You don't need to hide behind a happy Christian exterior. As I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, You know, you may wake up on a Sunday morning and all you can do is get yourself out of bed and get yourself to church. And maybe you're wearing your house coat because that's all you can do. You are welcome here in your slippers and your house coat. Seriously, you are. The key is that you're here, that you come. Really, try it. You'll see. You'll see. Here's the truth. Authenticity can be a little messy. Authenticity can be a little messy, but true community is never a stranger to mess. That's why we're here for one another. We're here for one another. We're here to see through the stuff and to the best of one another. We think the best of each other first. It's the example that Jesus gave us. Authenticity. Being honest with God, being honest with one another. Very important. We're not here to play. We're here to be disciples of Jesus and everything that that means. We believe that as disciples of Christ, we are about moving forward. We are about taking steps forward. And so we have a value of spiritual formation. It says this, we are a people who journey to be more like Jesus. We respect the notion that we are at different places along the way, and we celebrate the fact that each of us has chosen the same path. Our path is one of experiencing God in His fullness, of learning to be Christ-like, and applying what we have learned in love. We are a people of prayer. We are a people who follow the ways of the Bible, and we understand our spiritual journey is not complete without a disciplined life that includes both. To know Jesus more is to hunger for more. We wish to be a people hungry for spiritual formation. Hungry to grow in Christ. Like I said earlier, one of the beauties of this community is that we're all at different places in our walk with Jesus. It's not like we all have one starting point and we just kind of move together that way. It doesn't work that way in community. Some who are here have not yet even made a decision for Jesus, and that's fine. You're in the right place. Others have just started that journey. They're brand new and on their way to walking as a disciple in Christ. And others have been around for a long time. But it's on that spectrum. We're all at different places and stages in growth with Jesus. Some are stalled in their faith. You're welcome here. Some are really confused about things. You are welcome here. Some have a growing hunger for a closeness and an intimacy. You are welcome here. You see, there is room for all of us in this place. As we move together, as we walk together to be closer to Christ. This is about taking steps. Coming together like this, it's about taking steps. Our relationship with Jesus is about taking steps. Some of them are just small. Some just have a hard time even moving a little bit. Others take gigantic leaps. There's room for us all here. And we're there for one another as we call each other on and as we encourage each other to become disciples of Christ. The week after next, I'm going to be sharing more specifically and more practically about a pattern of discipleship. Our leadership team has been working for, I think now it's more than a year, on this pattern of discipleship, and it's called The Journey. And it's a homegrown discipleship framework. I'm going to be introducing it in a couple of weeks. And the idea is that it's to help us, each one of us, wherever we are on that journey, finding those steps forward. It's all about spiritual formation. It's one of the reasons that we gather, is moving forward with Christ. I want to move on to the value of worship. This is what it says. We are a people who recognize God for who He is, and because of that, we are naturally drawn to the place of worship. Our worship does not have to fit a particular box and is fully open to the expression of the Spirit. We desire to be passionate about the adoration of God and the proclamation of who He is in our lives. It's true. When we find ourselves in the presence of God, we are drawn to worship. We're drawn to worship. And that worship can take many forms. We can worship in our prayer. We can worship in our giving, as I said. We can worship while we're singing praises to God. So worship isn't about being put into a small little box. Worship is just
proclaiming God for who he is and knowing that he has intersected in our lives and giving him thanks. Some of us may worship quietly and contemplatively, or some of us may worship with shouts of praise and even doing some dancing as we're singing. As I've said before, there is room for all. There is room for all as we worship together. Worship, as it's described in the Bible, it covers the range of things. This is all about expressing our love for Christ. And we understand, particularly in this body, that there are many faith expressions, come from different traditions and so on. Some are less likely to lift hands in worship, and others desire to dance as David danced. You know, maybe with a bit more clothing, but it's good. There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody here. And it's in our different forms of worship that we can learn from one another. And maybe we can press through some old paradigms into new and creative expressions that draw us closer to God and invigorate our worship. We're praying for invigorated worship this year. Worship where we just feel the presence of God amongst us. And that worship is going to call us to do all sorts of different things that are honoring and beautiful before the Lord. So I don't want anybody to worry about that. I want you just to know that we're here together. And whatever it looks like for you, that's the way it needs to look. God has got great things in store for us as we worship him and as we praise him and as we draw closer to him. You need to know, of course, that we are a Pentecostal church, and we believe in seeking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We welcome and we embrace the prophetic word and the operation of the gifts of God among us. That's part of who we are. And the bottom line is, we believe that we should do whatever it takes to worship in freedom and in truth. And that is what brings honor and glory to God, our worship. We need to be a worshipful people. But you know, while much of what I've said so far focuses on us, we absolutely recognize that our relationship with Jesus is not all about us. It's about the gospel that has set us free, and it is meant to be shared with others. Let me talk about the value of the Great Commission. We are a people who understand the church is not limited by its building or by a street address. The church is us, and we are called to reach beyond our walls and impact the lives of those who are far from God who live there. We see the scope of our influence ranges from our backyard to our world. We are passionate about the gospel that has set us free, and we desire to share it. It's not about holding it, it's about releasing it. You know, at Living Waters, we have set out to be a people of invitation. In other words, we're called by Jesus to invite others to find the faith that has transformed our lives, the faith that has given us hope. We believe strongly here in relational evangelism, meaning that we take the time and invest into the lives of others who will see the Spirit of Christ in us. And whether we invite them to faith in time over our kitchen table or we invite them here to participate in our gathering, it doesn't matter. But what we believe and what is so important for us is that we are intentional and that we each hold a heart of invitation to others in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this. We want this place to be a comfortable place for you to bring someone. It needs to be a comfortable setting for someone to come who's exploring faith and have got some deep and good questions and penetrating questions. It needs to be comfortable here. So we're going to do everything we can in these services to make this a comfortable place for people to come who are just wondering about who this Jesus is and why we do the things that we do. Let me just give you a quick word about our global work. If you have been here for any length of time, you know that we're absolutely committed to supporting global workers who are all about sharing the gospel outside of these walls. We're absolutely committed to them. And we make a significant financial contribution to 13 global workers who are around the world, from Siberia to Burnaby, which is our church plant, from India to Poland. We support them. And we also pray for and encourage 8 global partners who are today a part of our Living Waters congregation, reaching lives for Christ here and abroad. And so there are things that we do that way in terms of our global work and supporting others who reach out, as well as doing what we need to be doing as individuals, as disciples of Jesus. It's the Great Commission, and it calls each one of us to go. And we're committed to not allowing these walls to hold us back. This is the place we come together and we celebrate together. It's out there where we can have the largest influence for Jesus Christ in sharing the gospel. We value generosity. Let me just talk a minute about this value. As Jesus was generous, so too do we wish to be a generous people. Our desire is to be known for our generosity so that God may be glorified through us. Generous as we give to his church and the work of God, generous with each other in ways that are surprising and a testimony to our love for one another, generous with those around us who are around us who may decide what Christianity looks like based on our behavior. We wish to be generous because Jesus has been generous to us. When I talk about generosity, you need to understand that I'm not just talking about financial generosity here. I'm talking about the generosity of our hearts and our spirits as we go out and we serve and we are the hands and the feet of Christ as we are in our neighborhoods and with our friends and with our families. That's a very important part of our generosity. We need to be a generous people in reaching the hearts and lives of others. We also need to be generous with our finances and in our giving. And I want you to know that as we have committed to give away largely, whether we are supporting our global partners or community initiatives, I want you to know that Jesus has poured back into our community life in virtually every way. The more generous that we can be, the more it is a reflection of Jesus' heart. And you need to know that as we give away finances, we are prayerful about them and we are strategic about them. I'm just going to share with you a couple of things that you may or may not know about our giving here at Living Waters. I'm saying these things as an encouragement. This is not about a pat on the back for any one of us, but this really is to say what it is that we can do as a community and how we can impact those around us. You may or may not know this, but we set aside 5% of all of the general offerings that we receive. This isn't about missions, that's a separate. But 5% of our general offerings, we set that aside and we put that into what's called a generosity fund. As I said, we want to be intentional about our giving and we just allow that fund to accrue. And so what we do at different points during the year is that we give that money away. We give it away to places where we believe there's good seed and the work of Jesus is happening. We give it away to places that may not be a Christian organization but have the values, that same kind of value, and they're impacting the community. So we've done a number of things. We've given over $16,000 to the Langley Food Bank. The Christmas Bureau has received $14,000 from us. The Gateway of Hope, about $10,000. There's just a number of other things that we do. But I'm sharing those with you because we go beyond in our giving here. It's not about building bigger walls. You know, it's not about that. It's about not holding on, but it's about releasing. Let me give you another example, and you don't know this yet because we've just done this. In the last few weeks, we heard that Langley Memorial Hospital, the government said that they could open up some more beds. I don't know how many more beds, but they were going to fund the staff for that and so on. And if you've been to the hospital, you know we need more beds. They didn't have the beds. Like, they didn't have the physical beds. They had the staffing and all of that, but they had to raise money for the beds themselves. So I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we bought ourselves a bed. Well, we didn't buy us a bed. we bought the hospital a bed. It was a $10,000 bed. But I'll tell you what, that is impacting our community through generosity. Whether or not there's a plaque, I don't care about a plaque on that bed, but you know and I know that because of our giving, we have impacted a life daily who's going to be in that bed. And we pray Jesus healing. May that bed just be a place of healing. Wouldn't it be so cool that people would kind of go and say, I want that bed. So cool. At the same time, if you've had any work or dealings with BC Teen Challenge, it's an addiction recovery program, and we just gave them another $5,000. We've done that before. We just gave them another $5,000. This is investing in our community. This is investing in things that we know that are important. This is about practically expressing generosity. Just did some figuring out, but you know that over the last few years, this community has given $45,000 towards developing freshwater wells in Africa. $45,000. And in the coming weeks, we're going to talk to you about a new initiative in Africa that we're pretty excited about. That's what our generosity can do. That's why Jesus pours into us, not for us to hold on to, but for us to release and influence a world that needs him desperately. It's a significant value for our community. Here's the last one before Luke comes, and it is the value of recognizing and releasing. Each believer has been given a gift or gifts by the Lord to allow them to help build his church, fulfill its vision to reach those who are far from God, and to help serve, care for a hurting world. In short, to make a difference. We value not only the recognition of these God-given gifts, but also the releasing of these gifts. When we are empowered and released in the things God has called us to, amazing things can and do happen. Can I tell you that this community is amazing? Can I tell you that over the last 6.5 years, we have seen incredible things that God has done here? Amazing things can and do happen. This value really takes us right back to the very beginning where I started when we talked about community. The community that Jesus is building here. See, however we arrive and however we look when we get here, there is something that is absolutely true of you, of every believer that comes to this place, and that is that he has placed something in you, that will help build his church, that will help us to strengthen the body and to encourage others, that will help us with the mission that goes beyond our walls. It is in you. It is in you. And so a primary role for us in leadership is to recognize those gifts. And not just recognize them and say that, but to see them released amongst us. We've been doing that as best we can. We have global workers, for example, who have been recognized and released from this place. Matt and Amber have been recognized and released. Joel and Brandy, Aaron and Rebecca, Brett and Natalie to City Lights. These are global workers that have been recognized within our body and released from this place. Those are our global workers, and we are our local workers. So we have about 70 people who've been recognized and released in helping in children's ministry. Look at our host team. Friendly, awesome people, gifts to us. It's a recognition and releasing of those gifts. Our life group leaders, a recognition of their ability to lead and to minister to others. It's a recognizing and releasing. There are so many examples of that in this community, but I know that there is so much more. I look here and I go, wow. This is how we will impact this community. This is how his church today will influence the society, because the gifts he has given us will be recognized and released. I want to encourage you, as we will walk forward this year, let's talk about your gift. Let's talk about how it can be released. Amazing things are going to happen. Here's another great example of recognizing and releasing. His name is Luke Knight. He's going to share with us.
Thanks, Doug. I'm always this crazy mixture of inspired / challenged whenever we walk through our values. It's like that, it stirs something up in me, but at the same time, it's like, okay, that's what we believe. Like, they know there's deeper levels to walk in those values in, and I'm excited to do that this year together. I want to show you my plant here. This is my plant. And it's not doing very well. I'm a plant killer. Is anybody else in the room a plant killer? Yeah, a few of us. We just lack the horticultural gene, don't we? Like, it's just not in us. You could give us lists or books or direct instructions, and we will find a way to kill the plants. It's our mission in life. You know, sometimes I feel like if there was an Olympic event called botanical sabotage, I would be the Michael Phelps of plant killing. I just have a gift. I would bring home many gold medals and make our nation proud. This particular plant is the second of its kind. It had a predecessor that also died. But that predecessor lived in my previous home, which was a basement suite. And so it didn't get a lot of light. And I figured that's why it died. So when I moved into an apartment that got a lot of light, I thought, well, that's good. The plant will probably flourish. And so I put it on a windowsill. And about 4 or 5 months in, someone said, you know why your plant's struggling? Like, it looks like it's clinging to life. It's because it's in direct sunlight. And I thought, what do you want from me? What? I can't win. Did someone disprove photosynthesis at some point over the past couple years that I missed out? But I don't think for this particular plant that life, that light rather, was the main problem. I think the main problem this summer for this plant is that when I wasn't working and stuff, I didn't spend a lot of time in my apartment. I was outside enjoying the nice weather, and so I forgot to water it. And the one thing I have learned about plants is that you do need to water them, because they have these things called roots that go into the soil, and the soil needs to be nutritious. And if the soil isn't nutritious, if the plant isn't rooted in something that is filled with life and nutrients and is rich, the roots will die and the rest of the plant will die also. There's this story in the Old Testament where Moses is like 120, I think, and it's the very end of his life, and he's about to crawl up onto a mountain and die, essentially. He's led the people out of Egypt. He's led them through great bodies of water, and they're about to go on to a new part of their journey, but God says, Moses, this is the end of your journey. And so he's right at the end of it, an old man, and he stands in front of the whole nation of Israel, and he gives this giant sermon. It's possibly the longest sermon ever, even longer than this one with Doug and I both speaking. He gives this sermon, and we know it as the book of Deuteronomy. And at one point, he says this in the sermon. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Whether it's way back in Deuteronomy, or we hear it from Jesus, or we hear it from the Apostle Paul, there seems to be this urgency for the people of God to hold on to what God says, both orally and in the written tradition. Humans are apparently in desperate need of the words of God. Our roots as Christians are in the scriptures, in the Bible, where we find God-breathed authority, inspiring history, narrative, metaphor, poetry, prophecy, didactic lesson, proverbial sayings, and the gospel, the good news. The Bible is the most unique, well-studied, well-circulated, most scrutinized piece of literature this planet has ever seen. It's been written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different people. It's this incredibly diverse and compelling compilation of God's history and his very current message to mankind. And so we aim with Living Waters as a community to live rooted in the rich, nutritious, life-giving scripture. We draw our values, as Doug has just spoken of, our vision, our purpose, our direction from scripture. And though, as Doug said, our traditions and our interpretations may vary at times, we agree that Jesus is Lord and that all scripture is God-breathed and very helpful for living the way Jesus has called us to live. It does seem that Bob Dylan was right, that the times, they are a-changing. They are. And we need more than ever to be rooted in rich, sound, challenging, loving, relevant, compelling, practical biblical teaching. We need that transformative, vibrant relationship with Jesus, the living word, but we also need his words that have been penned as well for our benefit. Scripture has rooted God's people for millennia during war, exile, enormous cultural shifts, leadership vacuums, uncertainty, outbreaks of strange philosophy. When we landed on the moon, the church was rooted in scripture. And when another social media giant walks into the center stage, we will still be rooted as Christ's church in the scripture. And so our team is committed to teaching and preaching God's message with this medium grounding us through the Bible. And so sermons this year will be as they have been in a way in the past, a mixture of exegetical, expository, and topical preaching and teaching, but all of it will be rooted in the Bible and guided by the Holy Spirit as we pray together and seek to find out what God is saying to us right now. The messages might take different forms from Sunday to Sunday, but we're committed to sharing God's story together clearly. And you might have noticed that we do function as a team. Doug, Leanne McAllister, who's right over here, and myself do the predominant amount of speaking on a Sunday. And Doug, as well as the rest of our team, feel that we are called in this season to celebrate and benefit from different perspectives and specialties, and that we're thankful for a lead pastor who always seems to follow Jesus closely, and I can't ever even tell if he ever has an ego, and it's wonderful to serve with somebody like that. So we feel that a team and others along the way that we invite to share as the year goes on, this style will best reflect our community and best reflect the season that we think God has brought us into. And we do believe that God is quite comfortable with variety, so maybe we can be as well. I know I speak for our whole team when I say that we love you and that we love the word and that we will aim to walk out our calling to preach with great respect and humility and thankfulness. We are honored to be able to serve in this way. Before I close, I want to let you know just a couple of ways that you can access teachings on Sundays. If you miss a Sunday and you would like to hear it, you can always listen to it on the podcast, and that's available at lwchurch.ca. You can also download it directly from iTunes. There's something else that goes on the website every single week, and we upload what are called discussion notes. So if you would like to think about or learn about or remember or contemplate what has been taught on the Sunday, you can go to the discussion notes and reflect on that. They're just abbreviated notes of the sermon. Also included in the discussion notes are discussion questions. So if you want to go deeper with the teaching, if you've been challenged or inspired, they're a great resource for you. They're also great for life groups. Some life groups base their whole group off of just walking through last Sunday's sermon, and discussion notes are there for you. And if you're ever looking for something to help you get better connected, that is a wonderful option. Before we close, and Doug comes up to pray, I want to say that I'm sure many of us in the room today had an extremely, extremely busy week. Things were very full and probably rather stressful. I know that the Living Waters team was not exempt from that. We had a full week. It was a really good week, but it was a really full week. as I was driving home one day, and the ideas and the people and the work and the stress on some level was all mixing up inside of me, I felt Jesus say very clearly to me, you know that I don't love people because of how hard they work, right? You know that I don't love people because of what they can produce. You know that I don't even love people because of how much they love other people. I just love them. And I went home and I felt led to open to Psalm 107. And I read it slowly to myself, line by line. And as I did that, I felt grounded. I felt connected. I felt centered again. I felt very with Jesus. Because the reality is that that is what we hope for our individual lives, but also for our whole community this year, that we would live grounded, connected, and rooted in Jesus and in his word. Because as the Psalm 107 says, he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and he has filled the hungry soul with what is good. Doug.
Great. Thanks, Luke. Awesome. Why don't you stand up, everybody? Let me pray with you as we prepare to leave. Let me leave you with a benediction, as we do from time to time. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. And his people said, amen. We'll see you this Sunday as we carry on with our discussion on community and Luke Speaks. God bless you, everybody.